If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on Sunday evening, getting your Monday show up for you early. Busy day today. Your good friend and host will be on the road much of the day on Monday. Got to head down to Columbia, Miss. A lot of guys hit me up, you know, for, you know, we discussed that last week about the young man from my hometown that played for the Columbia High School Wildcats that passed away tragically, and I feel it's my obligation and my responsibility and my duty as a former Wildcat to go and support that family, and not that I need anybody out there to give me praise for doing what I believe is the right thing to do, but Luke Davis Jr. was tragically taken from us on Christmas Eve, on his way to go open gifts. And it is absolutely gut-wrenching. And as I shared, I did not know the family. I don't know them. I may get down there and realize there's a connection or sorts. But the reality of it is that my Facebook feed was just filled with people from my hometown that were absolutely heartbroken for this family. And so I'm going to go down and pay my respects. I don't get back down south enough. Probably pick up a Ward's big one while I'm down there. Got to treat myself every now and again. And then we're going to get back and spend some time with the fam here in Starkville. And speaking of Starkville, we didn't have any major damage with those tornadoes, but there was some damage. Even my daughter Mia, her vehicle got beat up pretty good. So it's something we'll have to deal with and contend with here in the days ahead. But we feel that we're very fortunate. There are many people around this great state and around the Southeast region that were not as fortunate. You know, several years from now, we're not going to remember that we had a few dents and a damaged bumper. You know, there's some other people out there that'll never forget what's happened within their lives. And you just got to take it all in a proper perspective. You know, I say these kinds of things all the time. You know, people will say, hey, Steve, I'm sorry for this, sorry for that, you know. And one of the things that I have come to learn is I tell people, if this is the worst problem that we're going to have today, it's been a great day. Honest to goodness. If this is the worst thing that happens to us today, it's been a good day. And one of the things my wonderful grandmother, Miss Margaret Jo Selman, used to always say, she'd say, baby, if it's not going to matter 6 months from now, it shouldn't matter today. I've tried to always kind of institute that in my life. You know, instead of getting all bent up by the circumstances that are just temporary in life, and much of it is, there's no point in sweating that stuff. Matter of fact, a guy wrote a best-selling book one time called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff, and in many respects it is. But there's some people out there that have had, you know, life-changing events. And so for us to get all, you know, hot and bothered, you know, for something like that, I think it's disrespectful to them. You know, when they've got something major going on, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I got to go pick up some limbs. There are other people out there picking up the pieces of their life. You got to have context for all that. But all that I understood, got a lot to discuss today. We broke some big news over at jeanspage.com today, and we make that stuff free. We do. When there's breaking news like that, we make it free. You don't have to be a subscriber, but you certainly should be. You can still take advantage of our 50% off the annual subscription price for a few more days. Be sure and go check that out. If you're tired of being the last to know, then you need to come subscribe at jeanspage.com. As you saw today, as we broke some big news, even though we made that content free, more times than not, we're breaking the big news about your Bulldogs. And you need to have some advanced knowledge of that. If you love Mississippi State, you're going to love jeanspage.com, 50% off. And also, too, so many great people, man. We've had such a great week at True Rest Float Spa Starkville. You can still take advantage of the buy one, get one free special. Dial 662-268-7601. Or just drive by and you can meet my lovely bride there at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Matter of fact, I gave Zach Selman and his family a tour today. Yeah, how about that? Cool stuff, man. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We don't just like them. We love them. Because when we go in there, they show us love too. You put your feet under their table and just let them take care of everything else. It's what they love to do. They do. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. Get a great restaurant quality hamburger. It's one of the great delicacies we afford ourselves in life. Get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. Whether it's a lunch date with friends or work colleagues or a night out with family, you can have the adult beverage. You can just have the great family night, whatever you'd like to do. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. We love Bulldog Burger Company and look forward to partaking in some of that amazing cuisine sooner rather than later. All right, let's jump into it. Of course, this morning, breaking news as Mississippi State makes a change on the offensive line, and we expect that news to be made official tomorrow by Mississippi State officials. They've confirmed it to us, but we expect that an official press release tomorrow, kind of verifying our work today. So, and one of the things I want to tell you, too, about Cody Kennedy, before we get into all the rest of this stuff, okay? Cody Kennedy is a great, great, great person. I mean, outstanding person. And I share that with you because you guys don't always have the opportunity to get to know these coaches as people. You know, you see them on television, you see them in the press conferences and things like that. And you feel like in some respects that you know them, but you don't really know them, you know. It's funny, too, that I'm reading some of this stuff out of Colorado, and rather than credit us, they're, you know, multiple Mississippi State outlets. No, everybody's aggregating our news. And maybe my ego shouldn't be bruised by that, but that's really the case. But Cody Kennedy, as soon as he got here, like he reached out to me, he knew my work and said, hey, you know, I just want to make a connection and speak to you real quick. And he was great. And when we first opened True Rest Float Spa of Starkville, one of the first two of the first floaters that we had were Cody Kennedy and his lovely wife, because he wanted to support us. And that says a lot about him. And every time that I've saw him, it's always been a handshake and a hug. He is that kind of guy. And, you know, Jeff Lebby made the decision that he wanted to go in a different direction. I don't know all the reasoning behind that. It's the first thing people ask. And some people thought, hey, did Cody Kennedy just leave? You know, sometimes it's our decision. And you don't always have to support those decisions. But the reality of it is that Jeff Lebby recognized a need within our team, and he made a decision. And so we're going to support Jeff Lebby. We're going to support the decision, but at the same time, wish Cody Kennedy well, because he is a high caliber individual. There is no question about that. None whatsoever. But Phil Lotholt will make the move to Starkville. Now, Phil was nearly hired last year as an off-the-field analyst at Mississippi State. Then he got the offensive line coaching job at Colorado. And there's some people out there, too, that have kind of told on themselves a little bit. They start looking at just this year's production and say, but hey, you know, Shador Sanders was the most sacked quarterback in the country. Did you look at those numbers compared to 2023? Well, no, you didn't. If you go read the Colorado message boards and social media, they'll tell you they can't believe they're losing Phil Lotholt. And there's some people out there that covered the beat that'll tell you, God made a big difference. But Phil is a guy that has been closely aligned with Jeff Lebby throughout his coaching career. And to kind of give you some background here too, He is originally from Honolulu, Hawaii. How about that? Moved to the mainland, graduated from Fountain Fort Carson High School in Fountain, Colorado. Played both sides of the line and ended up being an All-State player. Had to go the junior college route. Made the move to Garden City Community College. He was a two-time junior college All-American there. Signed with LSU and then eventually wound up at Oklahoma. And it was there that he became one of the best offensive linemen in the country. Eventually got drafted, second round by the Minnesota Vikings. Went to work and was a starting right tackle for the Vikings. Played 15 regular season games and both playoff games, including the National Football Conference championship game. Pretty impressive stuff. But, spent a lot of time here in the league. I guess 7 years when it's all said and done. I think that's correct. You know, it's one of those things you go, you know, you start looking at this and you forget how long these guys played, right? It's interesting, too, here. The 2013 season, he signed a $25 million contract. Nuts. Nuts. Was one of the most highly ranked offensive lineman in the National Football League by Pro Football Focus. He tore his Achilles tendon back in 2015 and then announced his retirement 2016. So he missed the entire 2015 year and then tried to make a comeback and just decided, you know what, this is it. Took some time off, got into coaching. Joined up with Jeff Lebby at Central Florida from 18 to 19 as an offensive assistant coach. He was an analyst with Lebby at Ole Miss from 20 and 21, and then followed Lebby to Oklahoma for 22-23, and then took the offensive line coaching job at Colorado. So 6 of his 7 years as a college coach have been spent with Jeff Lebby. So he obviously is a guy that Lebby knows well, that knows Lebby's system well. So in that respect, I think it's a good thing. And here's the thing that I'd always say too, you know, when in times of trouble, who do you turn to? You turn to people you know and trust. And that makes perfect sense to me. And again, Phil was a name that was kind of kicked around last year. It's a guy that was going to join the staff off the field. And then he had the opportunity to go on the field at Colorado. And so I understand there's a little bit of hesitancy, I guess you could say, from some of you all. Because of the fact you say, hey, you know, Steve, this is a guy that doesn't have a lot of direct coaching under his belt. And I understand that. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a home run hire. But what I will tell you is this is a guy that has credibility in the room. This is a guy that's played football at the highest level and excelled at the highest level. And then has also worked extensively with your head coach, Jeff Lebby. It makes perfect sense to me. And again, I don't know all the reasoning behind the Cody Kennedy decision, but I think, and I go back to the very first question that I asked Jeff Lebby, or second question I asked Jeff Lebby at the signing day press conference about any potential coaching staff changes. And he said, we're going to make some additions. I'm really excited about them. Well, now that's kind of coming to focus a little bit. Is now Phil Loadhold, a guy that knows Lebby well, and Lebby has certainly surrounded himself with people that know him and his system well. So I am very supportive of the hire. I think you should be as well. And there's some people out there, I mean, we could have hired Bill Belichick, you know, and Mike Ditka and all these other people. You know, we could have, you know, dug up Vince Lombardi and some people would say, hey, they're past their prime. I joked about that on a message board. Somebody made a comment and said, hey, we could have hired Nick Saban and some of you wouldn't have been happy. And I said, yeah, people would say he's over the hill and he's a retread. And so I think it's important to just kind of put a pin in those discussions and let's see how this thing plays out for sure. Now, the second addition to the staff, and maybe you kept up, I don't know. You know, maybe you are apprised of everything that's happened. Vincent Dancy. Now, I like this one a lot too. I like this move for a lot of reasons. It's so interesting. You know, A native of Sugar Lac, Mississippi, played in Oxapie County High School and then went on to Jackson State and became an all-conference player at Jackson State. Once his playing days were done, he took a position as a GA with Jackson State, worked himself up to an on-the-field position as a safeties coach. In 2014, he took a defensive coordinator job at Payne College over in Georgia. Then takes the defensive coordinator gig at Mississippi Valley State from 15 to 17, and then ultimately becomes the head coach there for five seasons. After they made the change at Itabena, he takes a defensive quality control analyst position at Colorado and then goes on the field this year coaching defensive ends. And I don't know if you've, again, I don't know if you've kept up. You know, maybe you have. But what's interesting to me, number one, pass protection got better at Colorado. I'm not going to sit here and say it was great. Some of that, too, is Sanders. You know, some of that is, you know, they kind of play 7-on-7 with some blockers in front of them. You know what I'm saying? It's just a different deal. They don't run the football much. They just kind of line up and get after it. You know, that's just kind of what they do. But Colorado led the Big 12 in sacks by 39. Now, Kansas State, that's a program you guys know pretty well, usually pretty good on defense. They finished second. So, yeah, Colorado gave up a lot of sacks, and some of that's because you got a quarterback that holds the ball too long. Some of that also is part of an offensive system that is very reliant on the pass, and you don't run the football much. And many of you watched the BYU bowl game, and I joke with somebody today. If BYU is playing their bowl game today and these hires were announced, then people wouldn't have this opinion. A lot of people, you watch every bowl game, and it's like, hey, that Colorado offensive line was terrible last night. Well, they were. Yeah, they absolutely were. But it kind of skews some people's opinion. But, again, you look here at what Vincent Dancy has done, and you have to be somewhat impressed. It's also a Mississippi guy, right? It's a guy that has been in every high school in our state, either recruiting as an assistant coach or a head coach within our state. He is a guy that really needs no introduction to the coaches around this great state of ours. And so I think it helps us from an in-state recruiting standpoint. But also, too, you just simply look at the numbers. And you look at the fact that this is a guy that made an immediate impact at Colorado. We need an immediate impact at Mississippi State, as you guys are well aware. We were dead last in the SEC in sacks and one of the worst teams in the country. And so he will coach the defensive ends and the outside backers. David Turner will coach the interior, the down linemen, okay? And then Coleman Hutzler will coach the inside backers and continue on as your defensive coordinator. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about too, there's a lot of people that say, you know, hey, we needed to make changes, we needed to make changes, we needed to make changes. And they were critical of Jeff Lebby saying, hey, I can't believe we're just going to run it back with the same old staff and expect things to get better. So we're critical of Jeff. And I think there's probably some sound reasoning behind that. And when you look at this and say, we went 2-10, we're not going to fire anybody. We're not going to change anything. That just doesn't seem right. And I agree. Now we've made those changes and some of those same people are being critical. Well, I don't understand. You can't have it both ways. You can't. This isn't Burger King, okay? You can't have it both ways. You can't be critical of the fact that, hey, we needed to make changes, and now we make them, and you don't like the changes. You know, give the guy a chance to cook, as the kids say. I think really the thing is that we didn't make the changes that some people wanted. You know, that we didn't fire Coleman Hutzler. And so I can't sit here and defend the guy in that respect, that had fielded one of the worst defenses in the country. Now, did they get better the last couple of weeks of the season? Yes, they did. And yes, we were talent deficient in some positions, especially in the defensive line. And some of that because of injury, we forget that. And really, if you think about that too, it really goes back 2 years that we've been kind of injury riddled on the defensive front. And but nevertheless, we've made some changes. Another important
warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. forlorn even, like your efforts are futile and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
Change, and I broke this news this evening. We've also hired Paul Rhodes as a defensive analyst. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you, it should. This is a guy that has filled in some great defenses throughout his college career, and probably best known for his time as a head coach at Iowa State. It's a guy that's been around a great deal. He has coached a lot of football, but he is just 57 years of age. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. Okay, so he graduates high school and then goes to play at Missouri Western. Immediately gets a job as a GA at Utah State, then at Ohio State, coached DBs on the field of Pacific. Then he goes to Iowa State, spends a few years there as a positional defensive assistant. Got the DC job at Pitt and held on to that thing for 7 seasons. Then goes to Auburn as the DC. And kind of ironically, Gene Chizik was the coach at Iowa State. Well, then he gets the head coaching job at Auburn, and Rhodes replaces him at Iowa State and ends up staying 6 seasons. Didn't work out real well. Went to 7 seasons, 3 bowl games in 7 years. Goes to Arkansas, coaches DBs, and in 17 is promoted to DC. And then he heads out to UCLA for a couple seasons. And then gets a job, again, D.C. on Kevin Sumlin's staff in the last year of the Sumlin era. And then goes to Ohio State. Goes and spends a year at Gulf Shores High School with Mark Hudspeth. Then gets back into college for Boston College. And then this past year goes back to Gulf Shores, Alabama, and works with HUD. Now he's back in the college game. And I think this is a great fit for Mississippi State. And kind of back to the Hustler thing, right? Sometimes these coaches are only as good as the support staff around them. And so you go bring in a veteran defensive coordinator, a guy that's been an incredible developer of talent, a guy that's done a great job as a defensive play caller over the years, and just about everywhere he's gone, defenses have gotten better and stayed better. And one of our astute posters posted some numbers. I haven't verified these numbers, but I'm going to take him at his word here and kind of share some things here that he put. I haven't gone in and verified these numbers, but they're interesting, right? So let's go to 2000. The Pitt defense in 2000 was 23rd in the country. In 01, they were 27th. In 02, 14th. 03, they take a drop back to 57th. How great will we have been with the 57th ranked defense in the country? In 04, 46th, and they start kind of working their way back up. In 05, 30th. 06, 60th, so that's about midway, middle of the pack. 07, 43rd. He goes to Auburn in 2008, the year before he got the head coaching gig. Auburn had the 14th best defense in America. Goes to Arkansas, it's 115th, and Arizona 118th. But again, these are coaches, you know, they were on their way out. And so, again, by and large, defenses have gotten better when Paul Rhodes has been involved. As one source told me, Paul Rhodes is simply a ball coach. And so when you think about some of the problems that we had this year, you talk about some things schematically. You've all seen the Twitter videos and things like that. We were misaligned at times. This is where I think Paul Rhodes can really help us. And he said, but Steve, how involved can he be? Well, he can do everything but coach on the field. You know, as you guys saw, Zach Arnett was a defensive analyst for Ole Miss this year, sat in the booth, you know. And so, yeah, he can be very plugged in and help out. And I think when you've got a guy like Coleman Hutzler that doesn't have a lot of experience as a play caller, having somebody like Paul Rhodes to kind of serve as a mentor is a great thing. And this is not about just Coleman Hutzler. This is about what's best for Mississippi State football. We had to make some changes on defense, so here's what we do. We bring in a guy that can help us on pass rush, right? Vincent Dancy. You bring in Paul Rhodes that can help us a little bit for game plan. You know, this is a big thing. And so I cannot say enough about the hires. Now, there's some people out there that are going to pan whatever we do, and that's okay. People are entitled to their opinions, but the reality of it is I commend Jeff Lebby for making change. And I think, and my hope, is that many of you will look at this as a very positive thing. But I think all of us were pretty much in agreement. Something had to change. And the timing of this is rather interesting. You know, I mean, the portal just closes yesterday, and I think in that respect, it's probably a good thing, right? If you don't have an opportunity to build relationships with guys, because, you know, guys are still on Christmas break, and all of a sudden, hey, well, my coach is leaving, maybe I should get in the portal. Now you get the benefit of the spring for Phil Lodeholt and those guys to kind of, you know, build that relationship. And guys can still get in the portal in the spring if they're uncomfortable with the change. I suspect they'll all be comfortable with the change because I think that Phil Lodeholt's going to do a good job. But the reality of all this is that, you know, I think Jeff Lebby is one of those guys that is probably loyal to a fault, and we've had some coaches like that in the past. And for him to recognize, hey, I got to make some changes here. But the reality of that part of it is, too, is like, you know, Phil Lodeholt is a guy that's a Lebby guy. He's from the Lebby tree. And so it makes perfect sense in a scenario such as this where you feel like you may be in a bit of a crisis, and then here we go. You know, we've got to go back and make an adjustment. And I feel good about it, and I hope that you do as well. Because when you think about, you know, an NFL veteran, and also a guy, too, that has played in junior college and then parlayed his junior college experience into a Power 5 opportunity at the time and then into an NFL career, this is a guy that, again, will have credibility in the room. When you're recruiting a junior college guy and say, hey, I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly where you're coming from because I've been there, too. You know, so again, credibility within the room, and that means so much when it comes to buy-in. It's easier to buy in, no matter the position group, no matter the scenario that you're kind of working through, when somebody has been there, when somebody has been in your shoes and say, okay, this is what I did, kind of follow the path that I kind of laid for you, and you may have that same level of success. Now, not to say that we're going to have a bunch of All-American offensive linemen, but I think this is a good development in that respect. And again, you missed Cody Kennedy. Many of you were really disappointed early in the year because of the fact that, you know, we couldn't run the football with any success. Some of that was offensive line. Some of that was running backs kind of, you know, learning to see the holes. You know, that was one of the things we really struggled with early in the year, is even when there was room to run, maybe our steps were off or whatever, but it just took a while to kind of have some continuity offensively. And you know, I expect that to change this year. I think the talent level has been increased. And in addition to that, I think, you know, bringing people in that are familiar with the nuances of your scheme. And, you know, this may be a scenario too. You know, people are going to say, well, what did Cody Kennedy do wrong? I'm not aware they did anything wrong. And I don't believe it's the case. Yeah, I don't think Cody would have ever done anything wrong. This may be a situation where Jeff Lebby is like, hey, I wasn't pleased with the offensive line. A guy that has been with me at three other stops is now available. And as a result, we're going to make a change. And Jeff Lebby has got to do what he thinks is best for Mississippi State football. Now, we're going to have some people that are going to second guess, always. But at the end of the day, we're not running for election. You know, it's one I pointed that out on the message board today. People are like, well, other people are saying this. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they say. What other fans think about us is simply not important. The only thing that matters is winning football games and graduating players. That's it. Simple as that. So Jeff Lebby is going to be judged ultimately by wins and losses. We're not going to conduct an opinion poll on Twitter of rival fan bases to ask them what they think. What sense does that make? And so, again, it goes back to the old Gene Simmons adage that has kind of made the rounds again. I don't value the opinion of somebody I wouldn't ask for advice. And I would encourage you, this is one of those situations to employ that line of thinking. Why would I ever go ask a rival fan, hey, what do you think about this? Because it doesn't matter. You have a vested interest in Mississippi State football. And so the choice is basically this. Either you support the staff or you don't. But I'm going to support Mississippi State. And many of you are going to support the logo, right? We're going to hope for the best. But immediately after we announce some of these hires, people start tearing them down. Well, not so much Vincent Dancy. We haven't had a lot of that. And I think the Paul Rhodes news has been exceptionally well received. Mainly it's been about the Phil Loudhole thing because people don't really do their research. But I understood. I mean, you know, hey, you look at those numbers and say, hey, they were last in the Big 12 in sacks. That's true. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. Now, we can dig a little deeper and try to find, you know, some causation for that. And I think that's kind of where we are. But, I think when you begin to think about, you know, the future of Mississippi State football, these could be some good things, right? This could be a scenario where you make change and all of a sudden you've upgraded your talent through the portal and perhaps maybe you upgraded your level of coaching as well. But I do like the idea of this edge outside linebacker thing. I think it lessens some of the positional responsibilities on Coleman Hutzler. I think it also keeps David Turner on the field, and Dave is a great recruiter. If you've read the commitment interviews from defensive linemen in the portal, every one of them has referenced David Turner about how much they like David Turner. More times than not, they're not coming to Mississippi State without David Turner. You know, and again, portal guys, a lot of it's about the paycheck too, but the paychecks are often comparable. And so when there is a tie, you need to make sure your positional coach can win and break that tie. And I think that's what David Turner has done for us. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair's been doing it 24 years, kids. Don't complicate it. Dial 601-500-2344. There's a lot of anxiety that goes along with getting a mortgage. It's true. It's true. And so rather than gamble with this sort of stuff, take the sure bet. Blair Chandler. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair can get you to the closing table when so many others can't, because he can be your advocate with underwriting. He knows how to structure loans to give them the best chance to be approved. 24 years of experience. Get his know-how working for you at closewithblair.com. Be sure to let him know you heard about him on the Boneyard too. You never know. Blair might do a trick or something. All right, I like having fun. Do you like fun? I like fun. I like fun people. I like people that use their talent to bring more fun into my life. And one of the funnest follows that I have on social media is Anthony Vincent. Now, some of you may recall when he first became a YouTube sensation for doing 10-second songs. He would take songs and restructure them and cover them in the style of other artists. Well, now he fronts a band, no surprise there. He is an incredibly skilled musician. He has covered some great songs. My favorite things that he does, though, is to take these pop songs and then make them rock songs. And people on Instagram and TikTok will message him with ideas. You know, like, hey, my favorite one, to be honest with you, and there's not a full version of it, so it's not on our list today, is he did Creeping Death from Metallica in the style of Alice in Chains. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And I wish they would release a full version. I don't know what the holdup is, but some of these songs get licensed and some don't. But I just wanted to do a top 10 to, number one, turn you on to Anthony Vincent. Follow him on Instagram, TikTok, whatever your social media platform of choice is. And you're going to have fun. Guaranteed to have fun by following Anthony Vincent. The video is incredible. You know, he'll sing them and you kind of get all goofy. It's great. So here we go. 10 of my favorite covers by Anthony Vincent in the style of someone else. Okay? You with me? Number 10 on our list is YMCA in the style of Rammstein. Yeah, you know them from Du Hast, right? A German kind of club band. It's interesting. It's a very interesting interpretation. Okay, number 9. Another one you didn't see coming. It's Old Town Road in the style of Nickelback. And don't sit here and tell me, oh, Steve, Nickelback, you love Nickelback. Stop being a hater. Stop following the loser trends out there. Y'all rock the Nickelback and you know it. And when nobody's in the car with you, I know you look up Rockstar and you sing along with it. You do. All right, number 8, the TLC classic No Scrubs. You want to take a stab at this one? Yeah, in the style of Korn. And so you've got all that crazy guitar work and things like that in the background, that weird tuning. No Scrubs in the style of Korn. Great track. Number 7, it's NSYNC's Bye 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 in the style of Slipknot. He does a lot of stuff in the style of Slipknot. He'll put on the mask, you know, get all crazy and silly. And again, I love people that don't take themselves too seriously. It's true. Number 6, Billie Jean of Michael Jackson in the style of Breaking Benjamin. And the music on this is absolutely incredible. It sounds so much like Breaking Benjamin, you would think it is a Breaking Benjamin song. It is amazing. Number 5, another combo you didn't see coming. One of the greatest songs of my lifetime. It's Cisco's Thong Song in the style of Marilyn Manson. You never thought that was coming. You know, much different. The video's not nearly as good. The Cisco video is much better. But nevertheless, I think you'll dig that one. Number 4, another odd pairing here. It's Yeah from Usher. We still like Usher, huh? In the style of Metallica. And man, does it work beautifully? I mean, it's perfect. To hear the James Hetfield, yeah. You know, it's nuts. It's incredible how well it works. All right, number 3. We continue with the odd pairings here. It's Wonderwall, the Oasis classic song that everybody can sing along to, you know, because Liam Gallagher really didn't have that good a range. Good guy, though. But it's Wonderwall in the style of Linkin Park. I mean, you're laughing right now, but when you hear it, you're thinking, holy smokes, this is amazing. Number 2, one of the more recent ones, and again, another pairing you don't see coming, it's Holla Back Girl from Gwen Stefani. You know, it's Bananas. B-A-N-A-N-E-S or A-S, Bananas. If I could spell bananas here. In the style of Bring Me the Horizon. And it works. He recently released this one, and it is a hit. I've shared this with so many people the last few days. It's now available on iTunes and Spotify, wherever you get quality music. It works so beautifully. I think this thing is a hit. I wish radio stations would play it. It's so perfect. I sent it to a friend of mine. They said, Britney Spears should actually collaborate on this. It's Hit Me Baby One More Time in the style of Ozzy Osbourne. And it is a masterpiece of music. You know, we all dug the original one. And, you know, we probably need to get ourselves checked. But in the style of Ozzy. And so basically, it's got the bass line of No More Tears in the background. And I think Anthony, while he can mimic a lot of people, I think he probably uses some AI as an assistant on this. But this, to me, I think is the wave of the future in music in many respects. It's incredible. And so maybe you've got a great idea. I've recommended some things. He hadn't picked one of mine yet, but I'm going to stay at it. Because I think there's some cool things out there, some weird collaborations. They do a lot of Slipknot stuff. They do some Ozzy, a lot of Alice in Chains. I think because he can mimic those, I think he's comfortable doing that. He'll bring in some guest musicians at times. So follow Anthony Vincent, and you'll find, too, he has some reimagined albums. He does a really good version of Audio Slaves, Like a Stone, an acoustic version of that. He did a Oh Holy Night version of with Chris Cornell. You know, it's like a Chris Cornell cover, you know, as if Chris was singing that. And so that's a recent one, too. You can find these so much, and again, I am a big proponent of fun and having a good time. And I tell you this too. If any of you guys are out there, want to put a little band together and let's do some of this stuff, I'm more than happy to do that. More than happy to do that. Because it just seems to be like it would be so fun to perform some of these songs live. Even if we just like got in a rehearsal hall somewhere and just like jammed for a couple hours and just had fun. When I was... one of the first bands that I was in, one of my ideas is I said, hey, I want to take rock songs and make them dance songs. And then this band called The Party came along. And we've had that song, The Party song, their version of Dawkins' In My Dreams, on a top 10 list one time. We have. And that hit, and I was like, this is exactly what I envisioned. Let's take somebody's rock songs, put a guitar, voice on the keyboard. We'll put a good bass line on it, and we'll make a hit. We'll cover these songs, and people will love it. And so this is the reverse of that. Like, we're taking these dancey top 40 type tracks and making them rock songs. And they just sound so great. I think you're going to dig it. Now, some of them are better than others. The reason they're, you know, number 10 is not nearly as good as number 1. But, man, I think it would be so fun to do that. Wouldn't it be great? You know, I get out those old black and silver glitter pants and do it again, you know, put on those Michael Jackson socks, have some fun. So I hope that you have some fun in your life. And I think the top 10 list is very fun. Some people, I guess, Steve, I fast forward to that. I'm a music person. My feelings aren't hurt, okay? I get it. It's not for everybody. But, you know, we do what we do here on the show. But I've had many people that will come to book signings. It's like, dude, I love the top 10 list. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. I love to get the Mississippi State information. But also, too, I get turned on the new bands and new artists and get reminded of old favorites. And speaking of that, like, I did the Firefall list here recently. You know, the great song, That's a Strange Way to Tell Me You Love Me. I had somebody hit me up and said, dude, I have not thought about that band in 30 years. And I've been jamming them ever since. And so that's a cool thing, too. That's what we do here on the show. It's a fun show. It is. We try to have fun here. And I think Anthony Vincent, again, will bring a little joy into your life. And he's no poser. This guy's really, really talented. I think you'll dig it. And so be sure and check it out. That's one thing that when this thing first popped up like 10, 15 years ago on YouTube, you know, the 10-second songs, like he would like take... And there's some covers of that out there, too. Like, he'll do, like, certain songs, 20 different stylings. And it's just amazing to me that he can pull that off. It's like all of a sudden, you know, the music changes. I mean, the tempo is the same, and it's true to the original in that respect. But all of a sudden, you know, he's working in, like, some, you know, some Korn or Megadeth and things like that. It's nuts. I'm so amazed by this guy's talent. So be sure and check him out and give him a follow. You'll be glad you did. because fun is fun. Thanks, as always, to our friend Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out and let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on X at Dogmatic67. That's D-A-W-G-M-A-T-I-C 67. You can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. Our next segment is brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We'll spend a little time talking about some basketball here. Campus Bookmart is the best place to go buy Mississippi State merchandise. It's the best place on the planet. They know what maroon's supposed to look like. You don't want to have your kids walking around in crimson shirts. I mean, life's tough enough as it is. You don't want an off-brand, hacky version of a Mississippi State shirt. You don't want that. You don't want that for yourself, right? You want that deep, rich maroon. You can find that at Campus Bookmart. A lot of knickknacks, a lot of home items, everything you need to decorate your home, your office, your fan cave, you can find at Campus Bookmart. When you walk in there, you're going to wish you'd won a lottery because you want to buy one of everything. You want to give gifts too. A lot of people may have disappointed you at Christmas. Maybe you wanted that Mississippi State quarter zip. Get it for yourself. You know, people got you socks and ties and things like that, and you had to put on a happy face and kind of pretend. You're like, hey, you know, thank you. And you are grateful, right? You're grateful for the gift. But it's not exactly what you wanted. Take matters into your own hands. Visit Campus Bookmart at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. And that is BSR. Stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. Gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. How cool is that? I love Campus Bookmart. I do. All right, Mississippi State women back in action today, 2 p.m. tip, and the ladies win going away. No real surprise. We expected that. But it's good. It's a good thing to take care of business. And again, I'm starting to like this women's team. You know, they're not 13-1, and it's not just because they're winning. You know, it's just the fact that they're a likable team. You know, they play really hard. And, of course, we're about to get really, really tested. But, you know, a 95-47 win over South Carolina State, and it could have been much worse for us. They dropped to 115 as they get ready for MEAC play. We're 13-1 as we get ready for SEC play. But it was all Bulldogs early and really all throughout the game. State wins the first quarter 23-10. It is a 53-23 game at the break. And then from there, State kind of called off the Dogs a bit. But you win 20-12 in the third and 22-12 in the fourth to win 95-47. Let's see here. I told you guys, too, you know, they just didn't have a whole lot. Their best scorer, Jada Morgan, comes off the bench, 12 points. Janai Hinton with 8. But we did a really good job defensively against them. You know, they didn't have a double-digit score. And they did manage to get 25 out of Jada Morgan. But, you know, it's nuts to look at all this stuff, too. And it wasn't like they were just kind of shooting poorly. We just played such good defense that they weren't able to get a lot of shots in the air. Medina Okot, another very efficient night for her. In just 19 minutes of action, 16 points, a perfect 7 of 7 from the floor, and then 2 of 2 from the line. Everything that she put in the air found the bottom of the net. 6 rebounds, a couple of assists. Did have 3 turnovers, but also a steal. Chandler Prater in the starting lineup, 14 points for her. Anaya Russell with 11. Jaquela Jordan with 10. Denham DeShields with 8. Taryn Ward with a dozen. Destiny McFall with 14. You know, DeBrisha Poe did not play. And you can read more about that in the freejeanspage.com articles. But Bulldogs pretty much did what they wanted tonight. Shot 59% from the field and then 44% from beyond the arc, 11 of 25. When you're shooting 45% from three, you're going to be tough to beat. Not a great night from the free throw line, but we didn't get to the line a lot either. 8 of 13 from the line. But again, State, again, doing what they want to. 42 points in the paint, 41 points off turnovers. 15 second chance points, 23 on the break, 36 off the bench. The game was tied once. Lead changed hands just one time as well. So that's it for the non-conference. And again, you know, we thought, hey, maybe we'll drop one game. We did, and it was that road game at a Georgia Tech. We thought, well, maybe we'll drop one or two, but just the one. And again, it's a very, very, very competitive game, losing by just three on the road at a Power Four opponent, Georgia Tech. You know, it is what it is. But not a real beefy non-conference schedule. Let's kind of call it for what it is. But business is about to pick up. January the 2nd, that's on Thursday, ladies will tip off SEC action against Kentucky. Currently ranked 15th in one poll, 16th in the other. And then again, Humphrey Coliseum next Sunday. We're going to need you to be there. 1 p.m. tip is currently the number two team in the country. South Carolina will return to Humphrey Coliseum. We're going to find out what we're about very, very early, as we've mentioned before. Three consecutive top 15 opponents and four of the first five SEC teams are all ranked in the top 15. The lone exception is that road trip to Georgia. And, you know, putting on a dark-colored jersey and hitting the road in this league is never an easy proposition. All right, Mississippi State men's team going to be in action Monday night. Many of you listen to the show on Monday. Again, it's a game that we expect to win. But it's one of these things, too. I think no matter the quality of the opponent, you guys are having fun watching men's basketball. As well you should be. Again, just a one loss, 11-1 on the year. And, again, that was a tough loss to Butler out in Tempe. And it always felt like we were kind of out of sorts. We kind of played their game. But we learned from it. We did. And I think our non-conference schedule has been interesting. You know, we that big win against Memphis just before the Christmas break, and Memphis hosted Ole Miss over the weekend and beat them like a redheaded stepchild. Bethune-Cookman will be in Humphrey Coliseum, 8 p.m. tip. Many of your kids are not back in school yet. So you really, you know, hey, you can make that late night drive. There's enough truck stop coffee to go around for everybody. This Bethune-Cookman team, again, has not been good this year. And, again, the Hell Wildcats thing is interesting. But 3-9 on the year. And gave you a little bit of a preview earlier last week. I guess, what is today? Sunday? It's that time of year, right? But again, a pretty beefy non-conference schedule. They lose to Texas Tech. They lose at Nebraska. They lose to Purdue-Fort Wayne. Not a big loss there. They beat South Carolina State. They lose to Tulane. They beat North Dakota. They lose to Gardner-Webb down in Cancun. They lose at Minnesota. They lose at Virginia. Lose at West Virginia. Lose at South Florida. Lose at Davidson. And again, a lot of Power 5 opponents for them. And so, again, they'll be a battle-tested team when they get into their own league. But it's interesting, you know, kind of working through all of this and kind of figuring this thing out. But, again, they've been outscored by just over 10 points a game. Not a very prolific scoring team. Shooting 39%. 39% as a team. Their opponent is shooting right at 43. Defense not a strong suit, obviously. Shooting right at 31% from beyond the arc and 69% from the free throw line. They're getting out-rebounded by about 8 boards a game. That should be a benefit to us. Turnovers, they've turned it over 152 times and they forced 151. You know, so you know, not much you can call from that. 93 steals for them, though, 81 against. So about 8 steals a game. 43 blocks. They haven't played in front of a lot of big crowds. I don't know how big the crowd's going to be in Humphrey Coliseum, but it's good to be back. Leading scorer for them is Breon Freeman. 16 points a game. He is a guy, too, that will let it go from beyond the arc. 64 attempts, which leads the team. 20 made baskets, which is second on the team. Trey Thomas, aptly named. 63-point attempts, 23%. He's shooting right at 38% on the year and averaging 12.3 points a game. You know, we talked the other day about you know, Jesus Martin Carvalho. You know, he has been a big guy inside. That's going to be an interesting matchup. But you make the big guy get out and run the floor. You know, I'm always interested to see what Chris Jans cooks up. Always eager to see. Because I think Chris does a great job making people uncomfortable. But if you let people just sit out there and pitch and catch and do what they want to do, you're going to be in tight ball games. When you make people do things they're uncomfortable doing, you have a much greater chance of winning. I think Chris Jans is one of the best in the country at doing that. He makes you do things that make you uncomfortable. It's one of the things that makes him a great coach. He finds guys that fits his system, that buy into his work ethic and what he wants to do, and then he turns those guys loose on the floor. So excited to see what the Bulldogs look like once we get into SEC play. We all feel the same way. You know, we feel we're confident. We also know the league is as good or better than it's been in a long time. At least that's how it looks on paper. And then we'll get going here pretty soon. And, you know, again, for your own planning purposes, you know, you've got that Monday game against Bethune-Cookman. And you don't have a lot of time to rest because on Saturday, and again, we need you here, January 4th at 1 p.m., we're going to host South Carolina in the SEC opener. Again, that's January 4th. So we'll see you Monday. We'll see you on Saturday. You know, and what you could do, of course, is just hang with us all week. That'd be cool, right? But I'm eager to see. You know, like middle of the year. I mean, how many times have we talked about that? You know, Chris Jans, I think, has maybe at times been dealt the short end of the stick when it's come to the early portion of the schedule when we've gotten into SEC play. I think this year it's a completely different dynamic. I mean, you think about this, you know, South Carolina comes here. It's a game we probably should win. Go to Vanderbilt. I mean, again, we've taken some tough teams over there and come home with a loss, but you feel like that's a winnable game. And then you get Kentucky coming in here. Mark Pope's group, always going to be competitive. I think playing that game here, it's a night game. It's going to be featured on the SEC Network. Could be a big one. Start planning ahead. And then we got to go to Auburn. And so you start looking at that and you say, hey, there's a real realistic chance here of being 3-1 right out of the gate. True story. But there are no off nights in the SEC. Anybody is capable of beating anybody. And I don't know how many times we've looked at this. You know, there's so many teams do so great in non-conference scheduling. I think we didn't schedule real aggressively, but we did a good job, I think, preparing this team for conference play. And now we really get to see what we have. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you're like me, I feel like every time we take the floor, we have a chance to win. That is an amazing feeling as a Mississippi State Bulldog. And I remember we hired Chris Jans. I mean, we were all excited about Chris Jans, and we watched him. You know, those guys were in the tournament, and everybody got all on board with that. He's like, man, I want to see this brand of basketball at Mississippi State. Now we have it. It's kind of taken root. And no, we haven't won an NCAA tournament game yet, but we've been in a tournament both years. And I firmly believe we have a legitimate chance, depending on the matchups, to get out of that first weekend and hang another banner of significance in Humphrey Coliseum. And it's been a long time. It has been. I think sometimes we lose track of that. You know, we get so caught up in the middle of what's happening now, and we forget, you know, kind of where we've been. And I think the job that Chris Jans has done, as great as it's been, has just kind of been overshadowed a little bit by the fact that we haven't won an NCAA tournament game. But I think you go back and look at the years that we had, you know, we were basically an NIT mainstay. I think everybody kind of sees that for what it is. But, you know, you start looking at the NCAA tournament, guys, we have not won a game in the NCAA tournament since 2008. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. 2008. We haven't gotten out of the first week of the tournament since 1996. Went to the Final Four. Since the Final Four appearance, Mississippi State has won 4 NCAA tournament games. Yeah, let that sink in for you. And we have a lot of our fans, of course, that are they're men's basketball fans first, and I salute them, and I salute all of you that turn out and support the Bulldogs at every turn. But when you look at the fact that, you know, we hadn't been in a while, you know, like 2009, you know, we go in as a 13, and we lose to Washington a 4-71-58. We went no 8, went no 9. We didn't go again to 2019. The entire Ben Howland era, we go one time, and we were a 5 seed. That great team with Reggie Perry, Robert Woodard. I mean, it was just, you know, we had so many great guys on that team. Quindary Witherspoon. And we get upset in a game that, you know, wasn't great, you know. I think we all kind of see it for what it is. You know, it's just one of those things that I think some people think that we're a sleeping giant. And I don't know if we're a giant, but I certainly think that we are better than what our recent history has shown. And I commend our donors that have been so incredibly committed to men's basketball to ensure that we do field a competitive team. But I do believe this is the year that we have a postseason that we can remember. Truly, I really do. And that's one of the things I think so many of you are cheering for. I believe it's arrived. Now, I may be completely surprised once we get into SEC play, but I just don't think so. And again, I don't want to overstate how important that Memphis game was. I think that game, though, really showed, number one, Chris Jans can game plan anybody, and that the players are completely bought into the culture at Mississippi State, and that they believe that they can go into anybody's arena and win a game. This team's not intimidated. I mean, how many times you look up last year and you think, okay, we're probably going to lose this game, and then we do. We found a way to win the game. And I think there are more pieces, because last year, basically, we went as Josh Hubbard went, right? If Josh was off and everybody kind of recognized that, it's like, hey, you know, where are their scoring options on the floor? So you get out there and put that long guard out there, and sometimes Josh would still go off. Yeah, like what he did against LSU. What he did against LSU last year should have been a crime. Crazy. He beat him to death. But if Josh wasn't having a big game, we really didn't have a lot of other options out there. I mean, Tolu gave us what he had, but the reality of it is we did not have a third scoring option. We do this year. And you never know from one night to the next who's going to step up and be that third score, right? One game it's Riley Kugel. You know, some games it's been Clary. You know, I mean, it's just you never know from one game to the next who's going to step up and do some great things. And not to mention the transformation of Keyshawn Murphy has just been absolutely phenomenal to watch, in the words of Ben Howland. Phenomenal. That's what Ben would say. So, yeah, it's okay to believe. You know, that's one of the things that I hope we can breed out of the fan base is people that are constantly forecasting failure and thinking, hey, you know what, you know, we're going to find a way to screw it up. Enjoy the ride, okay? At some point, we're going to lose, right? And it may be an important game. But only one team wins the last game. It doesn't mean that we can't have a great season. Do I think we're going to win an AFL championship? No, I don't. But I think this is going to be a very special year for Mississippi State men's basketball. I think most of you share that belief. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. If you're looking to bring a large group to Starkville, I don't know, maybe you just want a big house for just you and a guest, I don't know. You do what you want to do. But the best place to stay up here is the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Neatly positioned, well off 182, quiet neighborhood out there. You can have a great time, get to one neighbor, you can be quiet. I don't say that because you can throw a rager. We just want you to have a good time and understand that you're going to be off the beaten path a little bit and have some peace and quiet. We all need a little bit more of that. A lot of noise out there these days. And so 6 bedrooms, 2 bath. And we'll be spending some time there this week. We cannot wait to have everybody together. And everybody kind of have their own space and kind of have a chance to kind of spread out. But more importantly, just to spend some family time together. The older I get, the more that matters to me. Having all of my children together. You take all that stuff for granted when you're young, right? It's like, well, I've got them all here, you know, and we'll get them off to college. And you look up one day and everybody's got their own life and their own families, you know. And so it's important to get everybody back in town, be together. Let's have fun with it. You need to be the linchpin in your life and go ahead and begin to plan a trip yourself. Don't sit around and wait for somebody else to invite you. You be the organizer. You dig into it. You can Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Your Facebook page auto-populates. You can see all the amenities that are available to you and your guests. That full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the big living area, the big back porch, the fire pit area. You can see everything out there. And I understand you can kind of spread out and have a good time. It's true. Now, after you Google that, some booking options are going to pop up too. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO, completely up to you. Or you can book through Evolve, and I can save you some cash. Book through Evolve and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to this show. Yeah, super cool, right? I mean, it's the same venue, just at a discounted rate, by these people here. So whether it's a ballgame weekend, a midweek trip to Starkville, maybe it's a work trip, I don't know your needs, but get all your friends and family together under one roof. You'll be glad you did. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse can make those dreams come true. All right, real quickly here, I want to do, you know, the portal closed on the 28th. And so there will be likely some trickle news into Monday. Schools have it 48 hours, and some people take the full 48 and they count them as business hours. So, like, so some schools, Sunday won't matter. You came in under the wire on Saturday. Some people went ahead and put them in on Sunday. Some schools will do it Monday, but it could linger into Tuesday. So you're going to see some new players in the portal. Now, on the Mississippi State side, there are no new players. Now, Kevon Lee was announced as entering the portal just before the deadline. That's not really new news. He's just officially in, if that makes sense. The expectation that he was going to go. And then there was some chatter that he might come back, whatever, but now it's official. He's in. So Mississippi State, 25 outgoing transfers, and everybody thinks, oh, Steve, that's so many. I thought let's take some time today and let's kind of go over, you know, what the rest of the conference looks like in that respect. Of course, we've got 25 out and brought 17 in with some more to go. And, you know, we certainly expect to have, you know, have another here, you know, tomorrow. I was told on Friday he was announcing on Saturday. No, excuse me, on Thursday he was announcing Saturday. And then on Friday I'm told, well, maybe Sunday. Now it's Sunday. And he's like, now I'm going to do it Monday. Spoke with him today. So not worried about it. I'm just ready to get it done, right, to remove it as a topic of conversation. Plus, it'll be fun to celebrate, right? One more spot filled. All right, so let's work through the conference here. Outgoing transfers, because I'm sure you haven't kept up. Alabama with 14. Of course, Alabama, you know, still got a game to play. But, yeah, 14. And of the guys that have left, all of their 14 guys have already made their decisions. Yeah, so not lingering around. We're seeing a lot of that, too. A lot of guys understand you need to make it now because of the fact that there's going to be another wave of guys going in here at the end. And then spot there's more competition for those spots. They did have one guy also withdraw, Danny Lewis Jr. All right, Arkansas, 27 outgoing transfers. And they still got several guys that have not made a decision. And I don't know what that means about the quality of your roster, but I got several guys still kind of figuring this thing out. Nico DeVilliers was the guy that we were on pretty early. He's headed to UCLA. He's a guy, too, that a little bit banged up, you know. But, again, Arkansas, with more than Mississippi State, a lot of people panic because they're only acutely aware of what happens to their team. Now, Auburn, I understand, has been very creative, like with their retention bonuses, but they still have 19 players that have entered the portal. Of course, former Mississippi State offensive lineman Percy Lewis, one of them. Percy, of course, kind of held state hostage last year, trying to get a little more portal money, ends up going in the portal, goes to Auburn, and then by the middle of the year, he's not playing. Now he's back in the portal. You figure he probably may have got processed out, and probably the best thing for him would have been to stay at Mississippi State. All right, the Florida Gators only got a handful of transfers coming in. They got 16 going out as it stands right here today. And again, these numbers, you know, there may be one or two more added. But, you know, again, a handful of their guys that have made decisions are going to lower levels. There's been a few guys that have stayed within the conference. But, you know, Florida, again, a team that's, you know, they're a little bit roster challenged, I guess you could say, by Florida standards. And you may not know this, but Georgia hadn't taken a transfer. They have nine guys going out, including Ra-Ra Thomas. No surprise there, of course, he was dismissed after his very second serious incident. And no, he's not coming back to Mississippi State. All right, the Kentucky Wildcats, 14 transfers in, 23 out. And, of course, one of those, Kobe Keenum, headed to Mississippi State. Brandon White's headed to Hawaii. How fun would that be, right? That's cool. Most of the Kentucky transfers have found the destination. A handful of them still kind of figuring this thing out. State really not on many of these guys. All right, moving right along here as we get through bottom half of the alphabet. LSU with 14 transfer ins and 17 transfer outs. Most of their guys also have, maybe about half of them, have made their decisions. You know, I haven't heard, you know, State having a lot of connections, but you may remember Landon, I'm going to do my best to pronounce this. I can't remember. We interviewed him, Landon Abieta, maybe, Abita. He was leaning to Mississippi State and then got the LSU offer. And I remember then, you know, some experts, and I use that with Dr. Evil quotes, said, oh, yeah, he's going to Mississippi State. And I told everybody then, I said, if LSU offers, and I'm hearing that he's got to go to camp, and if he earns an offer, he's going to LSU. Oh, no, Steve, you don't know what you're talking about. We've built a great relationship. And now he went to LSU, and now he's transferring out. All right, Missouri Tigers, of course, 13 transfers in. Kevin Coleman, former Bulldog, one of them. Still disappointed to see Kevin go. But they also had 13 out. You know, so six one way, half a dozen the other. Kind of figuring some things out here. Of course, Kewan Lacy, the running back, leaves Missouri to head to Ole Miss. It's going to be interesting to see how that running back room looks at Ole Miss. They like to run the football. You know, a lot of people say you can't run the football, modern day football. You absolutely can. And you need to, in some respects, to keep people honest. Remember in the Mike Leach era, we got to run football more. You know, and the games that we did, that we I think averaged over 100 yards, we won, I think, 9 of 10 of those games. All right, Oklahoma's had 9 transfer ins, 24 transfers out. You know, what does that mean? Of course, one of those guys, Brennan Thompson, is headed to Mississippi State. You know, always a good get there. And he is a guy we expect to kind of play that Kevin Coleman role. And people are like, but Steve, people forget. I mean, Kevin Coleman only had like 300 yards at Louisville. You know, he was a product of the system. And that's not to knock him, okay? That's not knocking him. He is an incredible talent. But Jeff Lebby knew how to utilize him and put him in a situation to be successful. Not that Eli Drinkwitz won't, but he was not getting the looks at Louisville that he was at Mississippi State. All right, Ole Miss, your friends, 15 transfers in and 15 transfers out. And it's interesting, too, like looking at some of these names. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, are just kind of nondescript, you know. You know, Micah Pettis was the guy that got dismissed. Now he's headed to Florida State. Rodney Gross Jr., remember, he was at Mississippi State. He's the one that made that very critical penalty against LSU, and we had a chance to win that ballgame. You know, the leaping penalty that gave them a first down and gave them the opportunity to put the game away. Would have loved to have seen what would happen there. But I think headed to his fourth school in 4 years, something like that. You know, so it's always so interesting when guys continue to keep transferring. I almost wonder nowadays if it just isn't a financial situation. It's not about education or playing football. It's like, hey, I want to get paid. You know. All right, South Carolina, 8 transfers in, 13 out, and the majority of their transfer outs have not made a decision, and it's a slight majority. But you know, it's interesting, you know, to kind of see around the conference here, you know, how this thing is going. Not a lot of highly rated transfer out, but like Robbie Ashford's transferring again, former Auburn quarterback. Like Robbie Ashford's one of these guys too. His closet probably looks like a clown car with so much color in it. So many different school colors, and he's not alone in that respect. But it's just kind of it's getting to the point now. It's almost absurd. Everybody wanted this unlimited transfer rule, and I don't know that it's been good for anybody's education. All right, Tennessee has had 1 transfer in and 17 transfer out. So what's interesting is how many of these offensive players are leaving. I think it's a half dozen wide receivers now. You know, State's on Squirrel White. We'll see how that goes. And State did take Jaylon Smith. But it's so interesting. You know, Tennessee, a team with an offensive-minded coach, and you have all these offensive-minded players leave. And you could make the same case about Mississippi State, too. We had 6 wide receivers hit the portal. All right, Texas has taken 3 transfer ins. They've had 9 guys go out. Of course, you know, they're still playing. They're in the portal. And one of those 9, of course, Jure Bledsoe headed to Mississippi State. Another name that you may know, Aaron Bryant. Remember him? highly recruited guy, has not done much at Texas. He's headed to Vanderbilt. And maybe they get some value out of him. I texted Barton Simmons the other day and congratulated them on a great season. Barton's our buddy. Known him a long time. Met him at the Offense-Defense Bowl years ago when he was working for Rivals. All right, 2025 transfer class for A&M. Right now, 10 incoming transfers, including former Bulldog Mario Craver. They've done a really good job at the wide receiver position. They just don't really use the receiver position much. Of course, one of the big gets, KC Concepcion from NC State. That's a good get. But 20 outgoing transfers, including Malik Sela, that's headed to Mississippi State, 6'6", 245-pound defensive end with a wingspan for days. But a lot of these A&M guys have already made their decisions. Several of them, and of course, many of them staying in the Power 5. So it says a little bit about the quality of recruiting. Like when you go sign a bunch of guys and then they end up going, one double A to get playing time, it's not a great thing. All right, Vanderbilt, 10 transfer ins, including former Bulldog wide receiver Trent Hudson. Best of luck to Trent. Outgoing transfers, 16. And none of them, that's not true. Two of them have made a decision. Three. Three of them have made a decision. So the majority of these, Vanderbilt guys, not much cooking with them. Remember Devin Lee? Remember him? Big 6'2", 290-pound defensive lineman out of Ola High School, McDonough, Georgia. Remember him? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. A guy that Mississippi State recruited. And some people, again, forecasted him to be a Mississippi State Bulldog. And he didn't. And I remember, just like it was yesterday, telling people, you know what, this guy is probably going to go to Vanderbilt. And that's back before I was really kind of in tune with crystal ball picks. You know, that was just like one of those things, like, it was Vanderbilt, and then I was here, and he may flip to Virginia Tech, and I used to just kind of put those things in and then forget about them. We were new, right? We were new. We'd come over from scout.com. We didn't have the crystal ball. But anyway, that's a guy that State recruited and goes to Vanderbilt, and now he's in the portal. You know, so that's it's always interesting to me to see the career path for so many of these guys that, we really felt good about it one time or thought we're going to be Bulldogs, and they're not, and then the decision doesn't work out. And so sometimes when we say, hey, it's probably a mistake, sometimes it is. Now, real quickly here, speaking of crystal balls, and I've been bragging about this here as of late, if the news tomorrow goes the way that we have forecasted it to go, again, and we have reason to believe that it will, we have evidence to believe that it will, that'll be a 25 straight correct crystal ball picks. 25. So we're on a bit of a heater right now. And it says, I guess I'm 25 of 30 for 2025. Missed some in the spring. But again, nice little run here that we put together. But I share with you guys before, I just don't play around with the crystal ball. I used to not even care. But it's become a point of pride for me. No matter where they're going, I want you guys to know as soon as we know. So that's an important aspect of this. So, again, if you're not a member of jeanspage.com, you certainly should be. The evidence certainly supports that. You can get 50% off. And doing daily updates, too, on the portal stuff. And didn't run bones today. I think it's the first time in 3 weeks. Some days we've run double-digit bones. And the bones, of course, are like the recruiting tidbits. Just kind of pick out like five, give you updates and kind of what I'm hearing on five players. And some days all the information comes in and we can do two sets of bones. You get 10. But if you are a recruit, Nick, or you want to know kind of what's going on as it leads up to the commitment, some people are like, Steve, just tell me who commits, who signs. Other people kind of want to keep up with, what's going on. Where are they visiting? When are they visiting us? And we had a deal tonight. Marcus Allen out of Eastern Michigan, Matt Zenitz, my friend, tweets out that he's going to visit State. It gets on Twitter today. We had it yesterday. Yeah, we had it yesterday. And so I share that with you just because of the fact if you want to be the most knowledgeable and most up-to-date Bulldog fan in your circle of friends, you need to be subscribing to jeanspage.com. A lot of people out there would just say, hey, you know, I'll catch up with it on Twitter. And then people are like, hey, you know, Steve, why don't you just tell us on Twitter? What's my living? You know, we work hard to get this information. And some of it we give away. But, you know, the stuff like, you know, the commitment stuff, we're going to give you that for free. So you can read exactly what the kids said about Mississippi State and why they chose Mississippi State. All that stuff's important, you know. We share that so all Bulldogs can celebrate. We put it out on social media, and you don't have to have a subscription to read that. But if you want to read, you know, kind of the daily updates and kind of what's going on with people, you're going to have to be a VIP member. And we're making that, again, 50% off here for a few more days. Be sure and check that out. Remind you guys, too, New Year's is coming up. So on Wednesday, we'll do our year-in-review show. And if there is any portal developments, we'll discuss that, too. But we'll do our year-in-review on the 31st. Is that right? Yeah, well, I guess it'll be New Year's Day. I don't know what day it is. I just know today is Sunday, the 29th. Let me just take a look here. Let me just look here to see. I don't want to mislead you guys. I love you guys so much. Yeah, so Wednesday is New Year's Day. And we're working New Year's Day and for a little while. And then we'll watch New Year's Day bowl games with the fam. So your Wednesday show will be your year in review. And then we're going to come out on Friday, and I'm going to kind of forecast what I think is going to happen in 2025 in all sports. We'll do some hot takes. We'll get out on the limb and share those things with you. And as I shared, I'll be posting this on Gene's page here in just a little bit. And many of you will be listening to the show on Monday. And again, I'm on the road. I get so sentimental about stuff. You know, hometowns are like that, you know. And I just feel so led to go down and pay my respects to this family and go see my own family just for a little bit. And I got to hustle back because my kids are coming in. But, you know, guys, I'll tell you, you know, being in recovery, I'm kind of a guy that continues to do an inventory. Like, I don't ever just want to be, complacent on who I am. And I have a lot of character defects that I'm still working through. I can be a very vindictive person. I can tell you that. A friend of mine years ago told somebody else that Steve is the best friend you'll ever have and the worst enemy you'll ever have. And I kind of worked it like a badge of honor. It's true. I mean, I'm a guy that will absolutely fight to the death, you know. And sometimes that becomes a bit of an obsession for me because I'm so overly competitive. I just don't tolerate disrespect. You know, I'm just that kind of person. I guess being born in South Mississippi, that's one of those things that you're kind of raised with, you know. And that's an important aspect of it. But as I told, you know, Dana tonight, you know, it's I really wish that I was known more for the heart that I have for people, you know. And I saw something recently, you know, about, you know, protecting people that you love. You know, it's like, you know, you want to be protective. You don't want to be smothering, right? But, you know, the reason that I am so incredibly protective of those and the people I love and the things that I love and the things that are important to me is because I'm a guy that didn't have that. If that makes sense to you, you know, kind of self-diagnosed that problem myself years ago. You know, we grew up as broke as the Ten Commandments, man. We did. And I didn't have that. And I remember so silly. I wrote about this in When the Bottom Falls. You know, we grew up on discount rack shoes. And I know now as a parent that my parents did the best they could do. You don't understand that when you're a kid. When, you know, it's like, hey, all the kids at school are wearing these Stop and Go shoes. I want to get those shoes, or I want to get Zips, or I want to get these or that. You know, we grew up wearing U.S. Olympics from JCPenney, you know. And it wasn't until my mom remarried that my life really changed. And I'm very, very grateful for my stepfather, Lewis Kraut, and raised two boys like we were his own. Taught us how to fish and took us hunting and things like that. In many respects, you know, kind of help, you know, fill in the gaps from the time I couldn't be with my own dad. Of course, my dad, a very, very strong personality. And a lot of people say, Steve, you're just like your dad. I take that as a compliment. But, you know, we just didn't have anything. And then, when I decided to go crazy and jump into the path of addiction, and, you know, of course, I had a you know, a genetic predisposition to some of that stuff, but I lost it all again. And lost it all, broke my mom's heart, and nearly died. And then a lot of people wouldn't give me a chance. You know, a lot of people, I'm so that same town that I'm going to go visit tomorrow. I remember when I was on my weekend visit from Pine Grove, and I'm in there fighting for my life. You know, checked in at 6'2", 146 pounds. And there were some people, of course, that were kind of conspirators in my own, in my demise. You know, they had their own problems too. But and I remember going to church at First Baptist Church of Columbia. And I need to go back to a service there to kind of remove that resentment, because it's not the church's fault, right? But I vowed then I'd never be back. And there was some people that judged me that day, you know. And there I was going to church, you know, trying to begin to kind of lay the foundation for recovery. And there were a lot of people, a lot of whispers, a lot of pointing. And maybe it wasn't as prevalent as I thought. Maybe I was just so incredibly insecure at the time, but I just thought everybody was talking about me. But some people were. It's true. But when I started over, I had to borrow $200 from my mom, and she didn't tell my stepdad, to go buy some clothes. Because the girl that I was living with at the time, when I was in the RID program, she relapsed, got evicted, and all of my stuff got thrown in a dumpster somewhere. Other than a few things. She was able to salvage a few things. She didn't have a truck. So whatever she could salvage, you know, went into the you know, the back seat of the trunk of a Toyota Corolla, you know, and she, you know, she was more worried about her stuff, you know. I think the one of my only prized possessions that made it, you know, my old black and white polka dot pants that I used to wear on stage. You know, it was it. You know, a couple t-shirts along the way. And I don't think she intentionally salvaged it. I think she just grabbed a couple bags and I just happened to get those things. And so I had nothing, man. When I met Dana, I didn't have anything but, you know, hope and dreams and my love to offer her. And so I'm incredibly protective because I know what it's like, number one, to grow up and not have a whole lot. And then to lose what you had and then have to rebuild from scratch. And so I don't want to lose those things, and I don't want to lose those people. You know, there's some people that are so incredibly important to me in my life that I would go to the mat for them under any of circumstance. It's true. But the thing that I'll tell you about, when you face all that adversity, there is a certain level of confidence that comes along with that. You're facing adversity in life. It's like no matter what comes up, I've joked about this many times. If I found out like two weeks from now, Steve, we're going to need you to be the president of the United States, I have enough confidence in myself and what I've overcome in my life to say, you know what? It might take me a month or so to kind of figure this thing out, but I could do it. I don't think that anything is too big for me. And I don't think anything is beneath me either. You never know what life is going to throw your way. You know, and I share with you guys all the time, I don't know how long all this is going to last. I'm going to try to make the most of it as long as I can. For as long as God lets me live and gives me good health, I'm going to work as hard as I can to set the standards as high as they can possibly be. And there's always going to be detractors. There's always going to be haters out there. It's true. I don't even feel any of that. And like my baby sister, Reagan, and I, who I love, oh my, and we listen, we don't always agree. And I love the fact that she feels close enough to tell me if I do or say something that disappoints her. I love that. I love that we have that kind of relationship. But you know what? If somebody ever tried to hurt her, I would do everything I could to protect her, right, in every aspect. And so when people say some things about me on Twitter or Facebook, that it bothers her more than it bothers me. And I always said, sweetheart, that's why God invented the mute button on Twitter, right? I don't even feel that stuff, you know. But I share that with you because I want you, in some respects, maybe to garner some inspiration from that. Because I can promise you, many of you didn't have to come back from as far back as I did. And many of you had a head start at life that I didn't possess. And some of you started out with much meager beginnings than me. But we can kind of outgrow our racing in that respect. We don't have to live in that. We don't have to live a life of low expectations. You know, it's like I think that like that Morgan Wallen song, ain't that some, you know what I'm talking about? The part in that song that I love, it's a catchy song. I'm not a country guy, but I like that song a lot. And he goes, you know, we ain't got a pot to piss, but I thank God for this. That's kind of that attitude of gratitude that I have. I've always tried to have, but I've always had dreams and aspirations too. But I am one of those people, I do not want what I have not got. I'm going to keep working the best I can, and whatever God blesses me with, I'm going to be grateful for. There would come times in my life, man, I had to go pull out change and couch cushions just to go put gas in a car to get to work. It's been that bad for me, you know. I remember sometimes, you know, even in my 30s, man, you know, I'm making good money, but I got a house full of kids and, you know, having to hold my breath when I swipe my debit card for lunch. You know, I've been there, you know, and I may be there again. But if I am there again, it's going to be because that's the path that I'm on. It's not going to be about some terrible decision that I made and things of that nature. The path is the path. And that's when I think about this poor kid passing away. It'd be easy for me to question all that stuff. And it is one of the things that I do hope to have answers to one day, you know, when I reach the next life and go to the next level. It's like, you know, hey, why did these things happen? You know, why do bad things happen to good people? And that's probably the one thing that I had the most trouble reconciling in my faith is, you know, why do young people die at a young age? You know, why does that happen? You know, that's one of those things that just always troubled me. But here's what I do know is that every day is a gift. And the day that we forget that, we need a reminder. And I try to learn lessons from other people's misfortune. I don't take glee in other people's misfortune because I think that just puts bad juju out there, right? You know, you reap what you sow, you know, and the whole thing, you know, by the grace of God go I. You know, I think when you start taking glee in other people's misfortune, it's a different deal. And there's a difference between winning and losing. There's got to be a winner and a loser, you know, in every competition. That's a different thing, right? But I think when there are real life problems, you know, and I see it all the time on social media, oh, well, they deserved it. They deserved it. Well, how would you feel if that was what was being said to you? You know, if your life had fallen apart and somehow people say you deserved it. You know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, again, you reap what you sow. But also know this, there are some things in life that are going to happen to us that we don't deserve. There are going to be things that happen in our life that we're not prepared for. But I can tell you this, if you suit up and show up and put one foot in front of the other, you're going to make it out. You are. There's not going to be a search party for them to come get you, though. You're going to walk your way out of the woods. And so please, if you are of the praying kind, and I know many of you are, please remember Luke and his family, because, I mean, Christmas is marked forever. Forever. Christmas Eve will never be the same. It will be an annual reminder of what they've lost. And that's a tough thing to live with. And so his teammates, his classmates, his friends, those people are hurting right now. And we're going to go down there and just show them that we're there and show them that we care. And that's really all you can do in these situations. But let us all learn a little bit from that. You know, we always talk about that. It's a reminder how fragile life is. And then we go right back to arguing on Twitter. You know, life is so much more than that. It's not about your internet cred. It's about how you make people feel. And I can promise you, there's so many people out there that say so many hurtful and hateful things on social media they would never say to somebody's face. Now, part of that says, well, who are they really? You know, do people just get keyboard courage? I'd like to think that that's what happens, is that people just get caught up in it's a nameless, faceless person. It's an idea they're railing against. It's not a person. I think sometimes we take the humanity out of things in social media. And how many times do you see it? Like somebody get out there and tweet something incredibly stupid and they get fired. And next thing you know, they're on TV crying. I'm so sorry I did this. It's not really who I am. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I just think there's bigger things in life to have an internet cred. That's just me. And maybe I'm wrong. So many people that they glean so much self-esteem, it becomes their persona. You know, it's just... Man, it's important in some respects, but it's so pointless in others, man. Life is too precious for us to treat each other so horribly. So let's all be better people. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.